our servers are preparing to collect the offering, and we have a number of things that we want to say to you, share with you today. Let me begin this part by just again saying thank you to all of you for the love and support and care that you've shown for our family. So many of you were involved in either helping or being here yesterday for Kim's dad's memorial service, and it was great to be able to hold it here. Some of you didn't get a chance to know Kim's dad and mom during the season that they actually did a lot of helping and working around here. Years ago, they were part of driving up weekly from Bloomington to do a parenting class with a young John and Sue Beaker and other people that had ankle biters and were wondering what in the world to do. And my father-in-law, some of my best images of him are him leading a group at camp. You know, it just he meant a lot to this place. We meant a lot to him. And to be able to have that time of memorial here in this place was wonderful. I apologize a little bit for the time. I'm usually pretty good at, you know, getting us out right on time. And when a pastor tells you he'll only take 5 to 7 minutes, never believe him, okay? So went a little longer than we thought it would, but how in the world do you take 77 years and mash them down into an hour? Just a wonderful man. So again, thank you. And especially, I know a number of you were very concerned about Kim and just that she would not be able to focus the way she needed to yesterday on her grief and her loss. So for you coming in and picking up the way you did and just, you know, making sure that a table got put away and that sort of thing, it was, you're just a wonderful family, and we are incredibly grateful. We're incredibly grateful for you. So servers are coming right now to receive the offering, and as they do, Brian's got a couple of student announcements to share with us, and then I've got some things for you.
Forward to, again, we've had a lot of fun at Refuge and Revive the last few weeks, and we've got some more stuff coming up. So in 2 Sundays, we're going to be heading over to the Herzberger House for a big Thanksgiving dinner. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. So again, if you are the parent of a high schooler, you will probably be voluntold that you're making something because we are going to be asking for what the students are going to make to bring to make sure that we don't end up with like 30 green bean casseroles. So again,
what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Nothing really, especially if it's got the onion straws on
exactly.
top. Yeah, like no, nothing wrong with that. But it's not. So that's something to be looking forward to. Also, in 2 Sundays, so the Sunday before Thanksgiving, that's the night of our Revive thing, we're playing our 4th annual Turkey Bowl, so flag football. We're moving it back an hour because I think we've usually tried to like rush out and go play and it's just a mess. So 1 o'clock, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, anybody's invited to play. You can come out. Again, we have a really good time. We go over to Shanahan Junior High, play in the soccer field. We've got all that set up and it's flag. It's competitive, but it's not like, you know, we haven't lost any limbs or teeth or anything like that. So again, if you'd like to come join us for that, we'd love to have you.
Thanks. Thanks so much. So you pulled in today, and some of you found your very own brand new parking spot, freshly striped, ready to go. And wow, it's really exciting to be able to finally spread our elbows a little bit. I don't know, some of you don't have weight issues, but if you do, you know this feeling where, you know, the size whatever pants you are wearing are just kind of getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Eventually, you just finally say, all right, I'm going up a size, and then you go, huh. I can breathe again. We can breathe again in the parking lot. It's so nice to be able to pull in and not be so tight and go ahead and find a spot. Here's a way that we can serve other people. We ask that question, you know, there's possibly someone new every Sunday. How can we serve them? Well, not every one of us can necessarily greet them, but one of the things we can do is make sure that when they pull in, they find a nice, easy place to park. So I love the fact this morning that prior to 8:30, when all the people that are coming are serving, you know where they park? They don't park right by the front door. They're way out yonder. And Majerus has walked in this morning with their herd from all the way out there. If they can do that, we can all do that. So it's great. If you can see that as a way to serve, you've got good, strong legs, go ahead and park out a little bit and let newer people come and take those places, as well as people that need the closer spots, have little kids or are older and just need that area. So we can serve each other in that way. I do finally, after all these years at this church, old building, new building, and the junior high, I finally have my very own parking spot. It's the one all the way out in the far corner, all right? Never park there. That's mine. That's my space. So, and I am there today, and I will always, I don't care if there's a snowbank, I'm going to pull up on top of it. That's my spot. So that's a great way we can serve each other. So you pull in, you look out the windows today, you can see the foundation, you can see all that pit run. Pretty soon, there's going to be steel going up. Very, very exciting to see that gym coming together, that play place that we'll have to be able to continue to enjoy life as a church family, which causes you to say, what in the world, how in the world could God use this place for us to be able to minister to our community more effectively? And so we thought this morning, with that little bit of extra light that we have because of daylight savings, and with that chill in the air, it would be good here in November to be reminded of some of the great things that happen around here in summer. And as you're watching this great video that Danielle put together, would you imagine now how all of this is going to come together in a way that now there's a big inside space that these kids can use as well? So let's go ahead and get our camp on. Here we go.
And they are inside your head. You got a voice that sells. You won't get past this one. You won't win your freedom. It's like a constant war, and you want to settle that score. But you're bruised and beaten, and you feel defeated. This goes out to the heaviest heart. That match, time to put it in your past. Oh, feel the winds are leaving. It's redemption season. Don't live the young at high. Cheers to a brand new start. We're involved in breathing to live a life of freedom. Oh, to everyone who's in their limit. It's not over yet.
For some of us, Some of us in the room, we can imagine things before they happen. And for others of us in the room, we have to see it before we can figure it out. Where we are right now is in this very fun middle, where there's at least enough of a foundation that those that can't imagine go, okay, I can see that now. Those that can't imagine can say, okay, I can see that now. And we can start to dream about what this summer will look like and how that will all come together. I know for some of you have been worried about, but we won't have any grass left, you know, 14 acres. We won't have any grass left. We're going to have grass left, lots of grass left. What's cool is all that wonderful pit run that God decided to dump here after the glacier, they're just continuing to push that over and create more flat space. We have a nice yard out there and just all kinds of great places in order to play. One of the things that we don't talk about a lot because we don't want to remind God that he owns it, you know, is rain and thunder and lightning. We just, camp comes and we kind of pretend those things don't happen. What would happen if we had a week of 4 days of rain and lightning? We would have some struggles. Not anymore, we won't. We'll have plenty of inside space if that's the case. So this is just one area that we're going to be able to do some things that we could not do before, do them in a way that we could not do before. We use that word, reaching full redemptive potential. What does that look like to come to the fullest of the potential that God has given us? I laugh. You know, we do our Tuesday morning guys group, and John Beaker has been talking about, and yeah, now we can have a Thursday morning basketball group for guys that like to do that. I'm like, you do that. I'll be resting, but you do that. That'll be fun. There are all kinds of things that we'll be able to do with this space. So I hope you're excited about what you see. Again, just the fact that we can finally spread our elbows a little bit in that parking lot is huge. Come the end of the month, we're going through these 3 weeks together of this generosity initiative that we started talking about back in September, beyond us, making sure that we're not just thinking about ourselves, not just thinking about here and now, but we're thinking about how we best position a next generation of King Solomon's in order to go ahead and use the space that God has given them to do great ministry. And so we find ourselves in a season of saying, how can we sacrifice? What can we do in order to ensure that that full redemptive potential is realized? And so at the end of the month, we're going to have 3 weeks, the week before Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, and the week after Thanksgiving, where we're collecting a one-time generosity initiative, just saying, hey, let's do what we can together to shoulder up and make sure that we do our best to cover the cost of what's going on with this building. We know that we're going to have to take out something of a mortgage, but the more that we can pay now, the less we have to, the less has to be pushed toward the future. So in that series, you know, I told you flatly, for our own family, we made the commitment together. We said, we're giving $25,000 toward this. And we don't say that in a way to brag. We don't say that in a way to say, look at us. We say that in the way King David did, to basically say, this is what I'm doing, and I hope that it inspires. I hope that it inspires you to say, this is important. I think sometimes people assume that pastors just kind of come along for the ride. Everybody takes care of things, and the pastor just comes along for the ride. And that's not the case for us. We want to make sure that we're doing our part to shoulder this as well. We believe in this place. We believe in us. And I hope that you're part of that believing as well. So those 3 weeks are coming up really soon here. And I hope you've been thinking through the way that you can prepare for that. So I've got a kind of some fun for you this morning. I'm gonna bring a friend up here. We're gonna skip that video that we had. Okay, we've already videoed well, and we're gonna move into this piece. This is my friend Ben. Some of you know Ben. Ben Mott is the president of Green Lake Conference Center. So for those of you that go up there to do work projects, you may have met Ben along the way. Ben came to to Southfield. Around the turn of the century, I love saying that now, it sounds so,
gosh, yeah.
He must be 127, you know. He came around the turn of the century, came just after John and Sue Beaker did. And it was interesting because for both the Beakers and the Motts, they were in a stage of life that they were traveling quite some distance to a church that they very much liked. But they had young families and were looking for a church that was closer to home. And so Mott started attending, and Beaker started attending, and both families got very involved in serving around our church at that time. And I was really excited because I'm hearing about Ben. People are telling me about Ben. And, you know, it's not very often that somebody shows up at a church in Joliet with a British accent. So everybody was like, oh, this is so cool. You know, I just, okay, whoo, yay. So anyway, I got to meet Ben, got to know Ben, and he started just experimenting with different serving roles around the church, some that I'm sure he never even thought he would dare try out. And we moved along in our relationship together, serving together, and then God called him, and it really was through this concept of serving and giving the best of his heart for God that God called him out of this location to a location 4 hours north of here, where he was taking on a conference center that felt a lot like the church I arrived at, only much more massive and much heavier, in that there were a lot of things about that place that were run down, that were dysfunctional, that were broken. And here's Ben, this nice young guy, walking in and saying, we can fix this. And boom, here we go. And God has used him now over the last several years in order to do some really great things at Green Lake. So we talked about in the fall that we're reviewing this line that used to be on the front wall of our old building. It's not about me. It's not about me. Life isn't about me. And so we began in September talking about generosity, that it's not about me. Last month we spent time talking about reaching our friends for Christ, that heaven isn't just about what I get to do someday, but we can bring people along with us, and that we can enjoy a relationship with God here and now, and so can our family and friends, the people that are in our circles. We continue that theme now by asking the question, so how can I best serve? How do I fit? Where do I fit in the kingdom of God? And how can I best serve with the gifts that God has given me? So this series that will run now through just prior to Christmas is called Made for More. And we're beginning today with an interview with Ben. And he's going to talk to us some about volunteering, both as an individual, but also a person who leads hordes of volunteers. Give us some insight on that. And then we're going to start working through the weeks of understanding how we're wired by God. And each week we're going to have someone from our church family come and talk for about 10 minutes about that particular piece of their wiring. So I think you're going to love this series. I think you're going to be intrigued by it. I hope by the end of it that you'll at least be going, I wonder how God has made me. And then as we move into a new year, as we move into January, while we're all thinking about joining that gym, and we're thinking about getting on that diet, and we're thinking about all those good things we might add to the list, where will I serve? And we'll actually do it instead of the diet. So, Ben, good to have you here.
Thank you. I do need to point out one problem, that you have a rogue youth pastor at the moment who is about to take your church to a soccer pitch where you could play proper football. And you're going to play American football. So, but aside from that, that's
you're
quick theological correction to start
that,
the day. So
here
anyway.
You root for the Packers, and you have not yet learned that's fun football.
It is
on.
Great. It's slightly depressing at the moment. Normally I can rib people in Chicago.
Poor Aaron.
We lost the ability. We're in mourning.
So the way we prepared for this, I have 3 pages of questions. And some of you are looking at your watch and going, this guy, he can just talk and talk and talk. I set the alarm for 9:58. At 9:58, you will hear crickets, and we'll stop wherever we are. All right? So we're going to kind of racehorse through this. I wanted you to set the scene a little bit, because we know that you were not born in Ripon, Wisconsin. You were born closer to Ripon on Downton Abbey. And so curious to know a little bit of childhood for you as it relates to serving. So kind of set the context of your childhood and just, you know, that early part.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I grew up in England, in Taunton in Somerset, which is in the southwest of England. So land in London, turn left and go about 2.5 hours. I think there were 2 particular models. My father, actually pretty much all his life, has been attached to a private high school in my hometown, which I was educated at, he was educated at. He's 72 and he's still serving now as a volunteer. I think 11 years after retiring, he's vice chair of the Board of Governors. And I watched in him this servant heart all the way through kind of highs and lows. He always, for almost his entire career, had the sort of number 2 leadership position. He liked that. He still really has it on the governors today. And he served in what he did. He didn't seek credit for himself. He worked very, very hard, very skilled at administration and communications, and just quietly getting things to work much, much better than they would have done without his own influence, really for a lifetime without ever drawing attention to himself. So that had a strong imprint. I think from my mum, she was very good at hospitality. I'm not very good, but watch my wife doing the same thing and watching people come to our home, and she's a great cook. And today, actually, if you go to England, you can get quite good food. But the English reputation is based on a long period of not being very good at cooking. So, you know, it's the joke in England, there are only four spices, right? There's salt, pepper, tomato ketchup, and brown sauce. Ask me about that later. Those are the only spices the English had. So, you know, but my mum sort of studied French cooking and would cook really well. And so
it sounds so much better when you call it gravy. Brown sauce. Yikes.
Yeah, there's long stories about that, the English being scared of spices. So hospitality and just my dad's quiet servant leadership all his life definitely had an imprint.
So you have a very public role. I mean, obviously, it says president after your name.
Yep.
But you have kind of taken on, I think, a piece of his quiet leadership, so
absolutely.
To speak.
Sometimes my wife teases me because I often take too long to explain what my title is, and then it becomes a bit stupid in a conversation not to say what your title actually is. But I don't care about the title at all. It's very much just where does God call you, and you have impact wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that from him is, it strongly imprinted me and is the same style. And it's the whole notion when you lead anything, there's a really simple question about heart, which is, do you care more about what's happening with the mission of whatever it is you're serving than you do about yourself? I mean, ultimately, that drives the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a driving force for my father. It's a driving force for me. Mm-hmm. And really what you look for in anybody, before any skill, gift, any of that kind of stuff, that question is massively, massively, massively important. Mm. And I think my dad would reflect on it less theologically. But, I mean, obviously, the simple thing is the more glory you take for yourself, the less powerfully God can work through you. So Christ wants to shine his light through you. Mm. And the more glory you want to take, you know, as that light shines through, it's like a window, and it's like you're closing most of the blinds in this window and blocking most of the light. The bigger an ego you have, and the more attention you draw to yourself. So it's just a rule. It's not an option. That's
very
foundational.
Good. Yeah, it's very good. Do you have a verse or two that kind of informs your, we'd call it, theology of serving?
Yeah.
Personally, in terms of the conference center, but just what verses inform your theology?
Yeah, I think there's, I'll grab this. I was thinking about this pretty quickly. It's the only question I actually made notes on. The others I didn't. I think you've got, there's a basic obedience one, Ephesians 3:2-10. Who are you? Who am I? We're all God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, I mean, you just can't get around the identity. The second one is, therefore, if you are following Christ, if that's your choice, this verse came up yesterday talking about Dave Fry, and I think this is the single most powerful verse you can't get out of your head. You have to think through its implications, and you have to follow it, which is Matthew 20:28, and it's simply saying, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So if Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, that has to drive our life. And the other one is just, and it's a set of verses, but it really sets the entire theology, is the first half of Ephesians 4. And just paraphrasing it, it starts, so Paul sets it up. He's talked about serving, but instead of saying, well, you've got this marvelous gift and blah, 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 he just starts with an entire paragraph. Here's the heart of the matter. Here's it. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Allow for faults with love, and make every effort towards unity. It's the entire first paragraph before he gets to anything about serving.
Mm-hmm.
It sets the same question of my dad's piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a shape. You've all been given spiritual gifts, remarkable abilities, gifts, talents, and these experiences. And you're supposed to use them in every context of life. And one very foundational one is you're supposed to use them because you're a part of the body of Christ, which is the church. So a part of that needs to be within the church. And then lastly, if you all use your gifts, it fits perfectly together. And I love the ending, that God makes the whole body fit perfectly together when we all play our role. And as each part does its special work, It helps the other parts to grow, me, you, and everybody else. You grow yourself, other people grow because of you serving, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Mm. And I've started running a little bit. You know, you hit middle age and you suddenly realize that. Well, I was trading off a fast metabolism, right? So you figure, you know, you can trade on this for a while, and you suddenly realize this strategy is no longer working. And if you're honest with the scale, that about 15 pounds appeared that weren't supposed to be there. So, you know, you first of all, you use the trouser strategy that you'd mentioned. That's good. But then after that, you start running. And one of the things you find in middle age as you start to running is, one, that, again, you can't just go out and run like England was actually had really good middle distance runners. In the 1980s when I was growing up, and so I always go out picturing them. And, of course, the difference between that and the sort of the chariot's fire, you know, running along the beach, and what actually goes on isn't very good. And then you hit middle age and you get to the bit of, right, you get a little bit fitter and you're running better. But then the more recent bit you notice is, you know, you're just more apt to get injured than you were when you're young. So I like running in a field behind me. The dog likes it. But I keep twisting my right ankle and it doesn't heal quickly. And it's like the body of Christ of, you know, you picture chariots of fire, right? You're bombing along the beach. But actually, when you've knackered your ankle, you go. And so it's simply, and I say that to say, if you picture it, it is, you know, obviously the body of Christ is, you can be Usain Bolt, or, you know, the English guys like Sebastian Coe. You can be brilliantly talented, but if the ankle isn't bothering to run, which is the church, if someone who has a particular gift that's vital as the ankle isn't playing the role, then it looks more like me running in the morning than it does an Olympic athlete. So just that picture of serving, you know, if you don't serve, it's not an Olympic athlete. And if you do all serve, it's day camp. Think of the difference.
That's beautiful. That is really good. I'm curious to know how has God grown you personally in serving situations? Not where you've been the leader of serving, but you've been you've been on the team, you're serving. How has God grown you?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I'm watching this video of camp, and when we did show up, we John and Susan Beaker found this church, and we politely said, would we be, you know, are we crowding you if you follow you? And we came, and it was right in the ramp up for day camp, and at that time, I didn't have that much. I mean, I had a little bit of an idea, but it was developing an idea of how am I supposed to serve. And I'm watching the video and remembering my first experience relating to day camp, which is basically saying, all right, I'll help in whatever capacity without really knowing what I'm good at. And so I'm in the basement of the old Bethel Church on Black Road next to someone who is a highly disorganized, really creative artist, so opposite personality of me, and we're painting something together. And it's that bit of learning. One, I'm absolutely rubbish at painting. but also just, you know, if you serve, you learn and you grow and you learn these things. The other memory of day camp of what I shouldn't be doing is with you and realizing that you and I, because we actually have no idea what each other's going to say today,
yes.
This
right.
works really well between us.
Yeah.
If we have a script where the two of us have to learn exact lines, you know,
bad.
As an actor,
bad.
It's
John
bad.
Beaker memorizes it word for word.
I can't
He's
do
fantastic.
It. Yeah, amazing.
So he'd say his line, and I'd go, I don't know, chicken? You know, I just...
Yeah.
And you can see poor John going, not in the script, not in the script, not in the script. So it actually worked well with us, because we just went. And...
But there were several very blank moments where neither of us knew the line nor the other. Anyway, so... No, I mean, it's just sort of throw yourself in there, because you get in that space, and you really only discover that. And also just... you know, it's that two things, right? It's a parody. You get this sort of clean box of, well, I have to be perfectionistic and I can only do exactly my gift. And that's not true. But nor is it that you should never take the learning from things you're just rubbish at and adapt and change. Mm. So, you know, just enter both spaces. And I still do today. I mean, you know, so I think it's being in both of those spaces of just trying different things. Mm-hmm. As long as I always get, which I don't always get right, but as best as I can do, if I can get the humility and love and kindness and unity bit right, and I can sometimes do things well and sometimes just botch it, that's okay, and others grow and others realize their talent. Because, so I think for me, that's been the learning. And sometimes I'll see things and say, you know, maybe with my gifting I could help that person and that could go better. And also me botching things means other people can watch me and go, my goodness, I could act better than him. Mm-hmm. I may not be great, but I've got to be better than him. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, you know, show up. I mean,
show up.
yeah, show up. You know, with the right heart.
So you gave us a couple of things that you did that didn't work well, but is there something you've done that you thought, never again?
The acting. I mean, the acting with you. Well, okay. Not specifically because
of
you.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot remember exact lines. Okay. I can't do it. I mean, I'm wise enough to know I can't sing. So, you know, you have two options on stage, right? You either you sing or you... Musical theater was always out. But I thought, well, you know, maybe you can act. I should not. I just can't do it.
Okay.
Because the problem is, right, I'm concentrating on the conversation now.
Right.
If we're acting and we've got lines, yeah. I'm not thinking about it. I'm just desperately trying to remember the next line.
Yeah.
That's all I can do. So I'm terrible.
So what the opposite, what's something maybe you discovered by accident or whatever that you went, oh, my word, I want to do it again and again and again and again. I hope it never goes away.
My spiritual gifts, probably the top ones are, you know, administration of organizing, making things work well, leadership and wisdom. I think probably the teaching ones developed a bit that I've always enjoyed, but it's given me a chance to develop that. It's not my primary calling where I'm disobedient to God if I don't do it every weekend, but it is a piece of what I do in different forms, sometimes on platforms, often just one-on-one leading teams, which connects to wisdom and other bits and organization. So I think that allowed me to develop a bit where, and also actually honestly nuance where, interestingly, which has shaped my life, I like doing, in a church context, I like doing teaching for about 8 to 11-year-olds. I'm really not very good with high schoolers, which I did try during those day camp days, and I'm not that great. Occasionally I can, but I'm not very good at it. And then in an adult context. So I've kind of learned through all of those different pieces that with adults, and interestingly with like 7 to 10-year-olds, Anna will help me at our church in Ripon, who's sitting up in front, my daughter, and we'll teach together, which is fun. And I like that age group, so yeah.
So that leads into one of the questions we had was, have you done a family serve? Has your family done something together to serve that, you know, what was that like? Was that a good experience? Did it kind of work? Did it not work?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it can be hard to organize, and so something like a day camp can be great, you know, if you can do it that way. I mean, I will say, you know, I'm busy, which everybody has in life, so how do you serve in a way that you are engaging family and you're serving the church well and you're still doing, you know, all the things you're trying to list. And so one of the family serving bits, I mean, it's been really fun with Anna for a couple of years of teaching. I'm not doing it at the moment, but we did this kids teaching piece where we could do it together. That was really fun because it's great fun for the two of us to do it together. There was a trip in the spring, we're actually in the Dominican Republic, and with my two sons and their grandpa, so my father-in-law. We were in a serving context in a really shaky city, part of a city, and in a home for women in just a tough situation who were very, very joyful. And it was really cool to serve there. And honestly, one of the coolest things was that the two boys, I learned French in school, which is extremely unhelpful when you live in America. It would have been more useful in England. The boys have learned Spanish, which is far, far more useful. So they are the translators. So it's cool watching. The point is, it's so fun watching your kids do something better than you, or just watching them develop and do it together. And also, if you're all called to serve anyway, and I mean, just look at the time. It's fun and build those memories together. So,
would you rather lead a team or be on a team?
That's a really good question. And it's sort of answered, I suppose, in two different ways. I'm really happy to just follow on a team where it's led well. I'm really happy to be here today. And
so what if it's not led well?
But if it's not led well, then I end up leading in those contexts. I mean, I do. But I don't look for it. I mean, you know, and it can take different forms. Sometimes not even positionally, but you're guiding it. And sometimes you need to lead it. So I'm sort of always in that space.
So how do you determine led well? In other words, is led well the way Ben would do it? Or, you know what I mean? In other words, I think for some people, led well is, well, I'm doing it. So, of course, it's led well.
Right.
But, I mean...
That's definitely changed.
Yeah.
And that's mainly through God putting me in situations where I have to change rather than any great wisdom on my behalf. So, in my 20s, I'm working in a corporate career up in Naperville with bright people. And it was a pretty high-profile set of accounts. It's growing fast. So, I'm perfectionistic. The CEO of Kraft is looking at what we're doing. So if you put that combination together, not that great for the people who are working with me because I'm driving hard. I've got a really good excuse for my perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, you got to get it right. But I mean, I was driving people very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Myself first, but everybody else. I think one of the things God's done is to put me in a variety of situations, probably starting actually with camp, interestingly, years ago in the late 90s. But a string of situations where it's just so big and there are so many things that there's not a shot at being perfect. You know, no church can do it. And so in all those contexts that I've had to let go and just sort of study, okay, where is this? Well, one, where is the heart bad? I mean, I've got to deal with that as a leader and in whatever context. You've got to deal with bad hearts where I keep saying for Green Lake, the one thing we can control is, are we worthy of God's blessing and pleasing him? Or are we systematically arrogant, mean, egotistical, ungodly? Then you've got to take it on. Then there's a middle space of just, yeah, where is it not as good as it could be? And the question is that, I mean, you always want to be growing and getting better. And but for me, the perfectionist, learning how to temper that at times and how to drive it at other times and how to just let people grow sometimes, how to coach sometimes. And the other one for me, again, you come to this body of Christ thing is, I have got, I think as I've got older, I've got better understanding what I am rubbish at, what I'm really good at, and what's in the middle. So for example, you know, at Green Lake, if you, some of you have been there, 1,000 acres, masses of maintenance needs, and we're a nonprofit serving the church. It's not a particularly good financial model, to say the least. So you've got all these things you're trying to fix and try and improve the maintenance team. And there's one person who has tremendous potential, but making some character issues and needed to grow. And the solution for that actually was twofold, involving me with the strategy and the spreadsheets of, all right, let's plan and let's prioritize. And someone else who was actually much better at coaching this person slash challenging him on the heart questions. Why are you responding that way? Why are there these outbursts of anger that are going to you're going to get fired if you keep blowing up, but you have so much potential over here. And this person was much better at doing that than me. So we would tag team. There's a lot of that to grow things.
That's cool. That's
It's, you know, it is a bit messy. It's the end of that Ephesian scripture. I just keep looking at the end of this piece of, you know, God makes the whole body work together perfectly. As each part does its special work, it helps the other parts grow. So you want growth. You can't just have mediocrity and say that's good enough for God. You've got to be, but nor can you be perfect, because there's a growth process where it's directional, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So the growing word for me is the operative one, where it's not good enough to just say, this is slapdash. Sometimes it's slapdash and you can't get to it yet. That's okay, just because there's too many things going on. But for that to go on forever, you got to grow towards some excellence without being perfectionistic. Because it's in there twice. It doesn't just use the word once in that final sentence, which is this sort of treatise on how do you do serving.
You've given us some great words today. Brown sauce, rubbish, slapdash. It's going to be part of our new vocabulary. I like that. All right.
It's very dangerous when we set up that this is not scripted. So when you do this sort of stuff, you have no idea what he's guessing.
90 Southfielders, a lot of students show up at the gate of Green Lake Conference Center. What does your heart do?
It's been awesome. I mean, it's so much fun. It's been a bit messy because we've had to grow as a staff to adapt to a group that big with that much energy. That irritates me as a president. I'm being transparent that on the conference center side, we haven't always been ready. I mean, the one scripture, the whole Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord. That's what Southfield is when you all arrive. We're ready to go. You engage that mess where you've actually caused, I think there's been growth for Southfield. I'll just say, as from a conference center standpoint, we've had to grow and grown because of it. We've appreciated the energy and the transformations. We've also appreciated the growth and kind of the grace in that, where I've had to a string of conversations of, oh, that didn't play out as I wanted, because you're helping us change from kind of, you know, 10 old Baptists in a van doing the same old thing year to year to this fresh energy, and it's causing us to have to change. So that's been really cool.
That's neat. No, it's been fun to come. We love doing it.
Can I share a quick legacy story on that of just this?
Yeah.
So if we can, we've got a slide, if that could get thrown up, Shelley. So there's two different slides. This is Spurgeon Chapel, and this is a good illustration, this particular project. So I'm out for 6 weeks on a sabbatical, and a team comes up in the fall to work on this chapel. I handed over Dennis a bit of a mess, because there's a donor couple that was wanting to get involved in this. one with a golden heart, one who is a challenging personality, using kind Sunday morning language. So, and I couldn't help resolve this thing, but I needed to honor the husband. There was a limit of what I could do, so literally, actually, a final email before I'm off on sabbatical for 6 weeks was trying to resolve this, basically unsuccessfully. So I give you guys something of a mess. You all come up, do this amazing service, throwing a lot of messy challenges where there's still a growing thing I need to work on with this couple to help them grow in their service to God. So there's a lot of spiritual angles to this, which showed up as you guys basically saying, why on earth can't we just paint this? Why would someone be mad enough to take a very imperfect brick wall and try to strip it? So there's a lot that went into it, but you all worked willingly. You showed love. You sought unity when someone else was doing about everything you could to create disunity. I mean, it would be difficult for this person to have tried harder to create disunity in the process. Really, I mean, if you tried it, I think you'd struggle to come up with ways. You just stayed with it. You knew, I mean, you just lived into Ephesians 4, not just as text, but as this was the working process of this group. But it was all about a story. If you can go to the next slide. So that was taken on Friday morning. This was taken 15 days ago. This is Anna sitting here, my youngest daughter, and this was for a wedding in that room. So there's a story where this donor would have scuppered us and it wouldn't have been done. But the room needed to be done, and the room needed to get done in this beautiful state so that there could be a wedding. And the wedding was important because Rhonda Biro has worked on our front desk as the supervisor for just over 20 years, and her oldest daughter, Mackenzie, was getting married. And this is where they wanted to get married. They love the fall, and you can see the painted pumpkins and the decorations. The room looked spectacular. God was very, very kind with the weather. It's 71 degrees, which is not a guarantee in Wisconsin. And the door's actually down here, so which was an advantage.
The doors are in my garage.
But yes. It's an amazing story because... it's an incredible story because her husband wasn't there. He's almost exactly my age, and he passed away 3 years ago from leukemia. So there's a lot riding in this. And you could have easily, Dennis, walked away and said, this lady's nuts. This is a mess. We'll deal with it next year. Ben, sort your stuff out before you have us come. I couldn't get ahead of it. You just stayed with it and stayed through to the end of the story. And that, for me, is that Southfield story is the first half of Ephesians 4. Just read the first half of Ephesians 4. That is Southfield. You know, a lot of people can show up on Easy Street and it looks good, but that story encapsulates these day camp stories and the remarkable stories of this church. Wow. But very quickly, by the way, I asked Dennis before today, what's one sermon I should listen to just to get tuned in with what's happening here? And if there's one sermon, if you were not here on the 1st of October, you must listen to that podcast. I did it on Thursday this week. I was driving through the mountains of Illinois, just west of here, actually, on 88. I had a donor visit
in
Bettendorf, and I'm going through majestic, you know, there's eagles flying, mountainous scenes, all those kind of snow-capped mountains. So I'm driving out. Obviously, it's a good time for a podcast. So I listened to it. But no, it's absolutely extraordinary. And just to get the heart of this thing and to understand, one of the things at Green Lake is we get to work with hundreds of churches. You are a part of something extraordinary, special. This is not an average church. And so there's opportunities coming up for you to engage in what Dennis described in terms of the giving study that are life-changing in terms of you, your heart, and the heart of your family, but also in terms of the potential of this church. And it's so extremely important because I just want to emphasize, when you say simply life-changing, it does take every bit of that Ephesian scripture and live it out. That's not common. You're a part of something remarkable. Those day camp videos are just extraordinary. You're a part of something bigger than you may realize. And if you didn't hear that Sunday, it gives you a glimpse into why.
Well, thank you, Ben. I purposely turned off the crickets. Some of you are longing for the crickets, and I turned them off. So if you were wondering if my phone broke, because you were in the middle of something meaningful, and I didn't want chirping to happen, but... I thank you. I thank you for being here, for doing this. I've been sitting thinking about, I think in the next service, we will cover a whole bunch of other questions.
Yeah, right.
So because sure. We have plenty. So if you want to go ahead and catch the rest of this, we'll have it up so you can get the rest of the story. But I think that in what you've talked about today, especially at the end, talking about the chapel, you know, some of our adult leaders were there the week that we were doing some of this, and they were watching me kind of bump through some frustrations and whatever. And I'm at a stage of life and a stage of ministry that a high schooler would define my stage of life and ministry as geezer. So at geezer stage, here's what I'm learning about serving. Early on, and you know, for several years, it was important to me to do the job and to do it very well, to get it done as efficiently as possible, as inexpensively as possible, and as excellent as possible.
Right.
Do the job and do it well. And the thing that I think has come to me more in this stage of life is God wants to do the job and do it well. And the job he's doing is on us, and the well is looking more like Jesus.
Yep.
And so, see, I think sometimes when we get involved, some of you, I know you. I know this routine. You've served in churches, and your motto now is never again.
Yeah.
Because you worked with a person who we spiritually call them a jerk. And you're just like, you've been burned, you've been hurt. It's somebody you felt manipulated you or end-runned you or whatever, and you're just like, I'm done. Well, no, you're not done. You're not in heaven yet.
Yeah.
You'll be done when you're in heaven. And by done, I don't mean done. I mean done like the turkey done. The little popper came out. You know, done. You are not yet complete. You're not yet complete. And the completion that God uses in our lives is sandpaper. And the sandpaper, the people on your team that you wish weren't, right? And guess what? You're someone's sandpaper. We're all sandpaper. And we all get bumped and rubbed, and it takes off the hard edges and grows us into more like Jesus if we'll let it happen. So for me, this experience, I arrive with my old mindset. I want to do it well. I want to get the job done. And God's saying, so do I.
Yeah.
So have you grown, Dennis? And I mean grown as in G-R-O-W-N. G-R-O-A-N, I think it's spelled. Yeah, I did a lot of groan. Kim heard me groan.
Right.
And hopefully I've grown. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We love you. We love Green Lake. I've made it clear in the past that as much as we love the place, we support Green Lake because of you.
Thank you.
It's because of you. It's because we believe in you. It's because we believe in the work that you do and the person you are. And it's such a privilege to have a person that we can truly call partner in a place beyond here.
Thank you.
So thank you for that. And I want everybody to stand. And if you would, we're gonna pray with Ben, and then you can.
Can I just encourage one last thing?
Well, sure you can.
I mean, my story here, and I noticed, you know, if you look at the button of the website, I look this week at how you describe it, is just this is, you may have been burned in the past, and it's, I'm describing, I sort of failed at more things than I was any good at early on, so I'm not sure. Probably the British accent got away with a good reputation because it wasn't the skill of serving. But the idea of just, you know, this sort of shadow option of just try stuff and you can fail. And it's okay to say no here.
Yep.
Right. Sometimes I think some of us are so dutiful that we think, well, if I start, I'd be so dutiful I could never say no and leave. And I've got better at that over the years of just saying, no, it's time. I need to make a change. And so hit the soft serve.
Fantastic. Thank you. Father God in heaven, I'm grateful that you give us opportunities within your kingdom to do things for you, and how funny it is that we think we're doing something for you. Because in reality, you're giving us the chance to do something so that you can do something for us and in us. And you give us this wonderful chance to grow, to become more like Jesus, if we'll cooperate with the process you've put in place. I'm grateful today that we can have Ben here, that we can hear how you have formed him and continue to form him. I thank you for the partnership that you've given us together with him. I pray for his encouragement as he faces incredible challenges at the conference center, and that you will continue to give him the strong shoulders he needs, the courage he needs, the compassion he needs, all the gifts he needs in order to do well the job you've given him, and at the same time to realize that, God, you're the one doing something great in him. So we look forward to the way that you continue to bring that work to completion in him. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for your time today. We'll see you.
Old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song.